We have opportunities all around us to proclaim that most worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It gives us opportunity with our family. It gives us opportunity with our neighbors. Sometimes when we're out. And sometimes we just plain go door knocking. I'm so thankful for the young men that went out this Saturday and just for their obedience to the Lord. In Acts chapter 14, if you'll turn there with me, we're reminded that it's not always easy. In fact, many times we'll even perhaps start easy and then end difficult, or start difficult and end much better. It's very unpredictable how people will respond to the word, but we know in each case we're not to respond necessarily to the responses, but we're to be obedient to the Spirit of God in our hearts. And we know that we can rejoice, and as one of the songs that we sang, actually offer up a sacrifice of praise, which means that it's not always going to be easy to give thanks, especially when difficulty comes. But in proclaiming our thankfulness to God, what we're saying is we believe that you're in control, and we believe that you're doing good. And Scripture tells us that God literally abides in praise. So we activate the power of God as we begin to give Him the praise and the glory, oftentimes for the even difficult circumstances. In Acts chapter 14, Paul goes to Iconium, and at first it seems as if many begin to believe, and yet the Jews in verse 2 who disbelieve began to stir up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, things began to get worse. Then, within the text, as you go on a little bit further, there's a healing that takes place as they go to Lystra. And Paul is actually able to heal, by the power of God, this individual. The people then respond and call him Zeus and perceive him as a great god, or Hermes. And you see that in verse 12. And yet, these men, as your thought might be, well, this is a time to celebrate. I mean, they're at least looking at us as good and powerful beings. And yet, they begin to tear their robes. There are going to be times when you might have to pull people away from grabbing onto you, because the gospel's not about you. It's about Christ. And there are going to be times when people are going to be repulsive to you, and you're going to feel a failure. And yet, it's not about you. It's about Christ, and they have rejected Christ, not you. As you go on, if you'll turn with me to verse 19 of chapter 14, the Jews then come from Antioch and Iconium. They've been worked up, and now they're following Paul around, wanting to kill him no matter where he goes. And having won over the multitudes, they stone Paul, and they drag him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he rose and entered the city. That was probably some scene, wasn't it? And you just watch your best friend, the man who had been discipling you, stoned to death. And then he gets up. And Scripture doesn't say any detail about him, you know, limping or anything else. He just gets up. And it says in the passage that he enters the city. And the next day, verse 20, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. You don't think you need to rest a little bit? I mean, you know, stoning, that could kind of bring you down. It can cause you to be at least sore the next day, you would think. But the next day he goes with Barnabas to Derbe, and after they had preached the gospel to that city. Well, obviously they hadn't learned their lesson. You know, so many of us, we have a difficult bout, and we go, okay, that's it for me. We stop. They go right on. They go to the next city, just like Christ said. They're rejecting this city, go to the next one. They preached the gospel to that city. They made many disciples, and they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Well, those are the places you wouldn't want to return, because that's where the troublemakers live. But verse 22, if you read with me, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Do you think that kind of rang true with them? After they'd seen Paul stoned, well, yeah, I think you're right. There's going to be many tribulations. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And they passed through Pisidia, and they came into Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they came down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, and from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had accomplished. Watch verse 27. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. If you ever go out witnessing, or if you ever bear witness where you are, you know that the world is not a friendly place, and they don't always receive it with much joy. And there are times when you get beat up, so to speak, verbally at least. It's always good to come to church, isn't it?
Amen.
Church is a place where, like-minded, you begin to encourage one another, and it's good to spend time, to feel refreshed again. You begin to appreciate the body of Christ more than you ever had before. And I think that's one of the benefits of going out and evangelizing. Because when you go out and evangelize and you come back home, you appreciate home more. So, Father, we give you thanks for the time of gathering together and the body of believers that love you and that encourage us to keep going, to keep ministering. In spite of what we're up against, in spite of the rejection, in spite of the hostility, the hatred, God, you're always in the midst of this assembly. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.